What do you know about that? It worked.
At least it says it's working. Revelation chapter 21. Now, we kind of rambled into Revelation 21 last week, but there's some things that we really need to look at in the first few verses. Revelation chapter 21. How many of you have ever studied the book of Revelation before? All right. Okay. The book of Revelation is not real hard to understand. It's not a hard book to understand. People have made it confusing. But the book of Revelation is like any other book. You understand the book of Matthew? You know, how many Gospels are there in the New Testament? How many Gospels, what we call Gospels? How many?
Four
Gospels. What are they?
Matthew,
Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have a history of the churches in the book of Acts. All right, the history of the early churches. Call it the Acts of the Apostles. It should be the Acts of the churches. All right, some of the apostles, what they were doing, but they were building churches, what they were doing in the Acts of the churches. Okay, we have these books. How about the book of Ephesians? How many of you were, I taught 49 classes on the book of Ephesians in this church from the Greek. I taught, I think, 28 classes in 1 Peter, 32 classes in 2 Peter, hundreds of classes in the Gospel of John, and 96 classes on the book of Revelation from Greek. All right? And 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We've gone through all these. The book of Colossians. I don't remember how many Colossians. I think it was 30-something in the book of Colossians. And now we're in the book of James, and we've done 11 classes in the book of James. Now, all those books, you can take them, you can look at them. What are the rules of interpretation? There's three basic rules. We can use five if you want to spread it out, but there are three basic rules anybody can remember. What are they? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what is the subject? All right. All the books of the Bible can be interpreted that way. Now, is there a figure of speech involved? That's important, okay, when you come to something. Now, the book of Revelation is no different than any of these other books. Simple. The first part of the book of Revelation talks about the history of churches during the church age, doesn't it? Then from about Revelation 4 on, this is all future, isn't it? Future. Future. What's going to happen in the future? Well, we live in the church age, don't we? Probably at the end of the church age. And we can see all the players that are going to take place in the book of in the tribulation period in place right now. They're in place. All there. God, in eternity past, allowed Satan to do something that would draw everybody to the Middle East. Didn't he? God, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. In one of the beginnings, He created the heavens and the earth. Before that, He had created angels. And some of the angels rebelled. In Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, it tells you what they did. Satan destroyed the earth. He destroyed it. And when he destroyed it, all the animal structure and the plant life on there, it caused a great oil deposit over there in the Middle East. Now just look and see how God can... This is in eternity past, people. How long ago that was, I do not know. But now, what is the world scrambling over?
Oil.
They call it politics and war, but what's it about?
Oil.
Greed and money and oil. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. And power. And when you have oil, you have power. And when you control this, you have power. That's power. Now, this, it says in the last days, all these nations will be around there, aimed toward them. So there's where we are now, where we are at this period of time. Now, how's it going to end? How's it all going to end?
A new heaven and a new earth.
A new heaven and a new earth. All right. Because the old heaven and the old earth are contaminated with sin, aren't they? Now, let's look at some of the things here about Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1. Emma, you got that there? Will you read that for me, please?
Then I find new heaven and a new earth.
for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea.
All right. Now let's look at this and just kind of take this verse apart. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, who's writing this book?
John.
Evidently, John was one of the first time travelers. You have to realize, and I told you here a while back, God lives up here in eternity. And down here, we live in space and time. Now, God, in eternity, can look all the way through time. No problem. Just like, how many of you have a video recorder or player? Can you go to the end of the movie and find out what's going to happen? All right, you just fast forward, don't you? Well, now, God lives in fast forward time and reverse play, too.
But that's cheating.
Well, it's not cheating, that's God. Now, we might think of it, but God wrote this book knowing what was going to happen. Okay, He wrote this book knowing what's going to take place in the end time. Now, He said that His Son would come, that He would die on the cross for all mankind. All right? We studied about that last week. We studied, what was our subject in here last week? It was a very terribly tasting subject, wasn't it?
Hell.
All right. Hell is necessary. That's just absolutely necessary. God came that no man would have to go to hell unless He wanted to. All right, we live in the church age. Tribulation period has come upon this earth. Now, so many people in church, in theology today, do not believe in the millennium. Do they? They don't. They're what we call all millennialists. Okay? And I teach church history tonight. All right? At 4:30 tonight, I'll be in this classroom teaching church history. Now, I tell church history just exactly like it is. When Baptists were wrong, I say they were wrong. All right? Now, not all Baptists have been wrong in every age. There have been some of them that held out to the truth all the way down, too. But I'm going to tell on the Southern Baptists right now this morning. Okay? Southern Baptists, in the early 1900s, they said, you give us $3 million and we'll evangelize the world and we'll bring in the millennium. Well, brother, do you remember this story? They quit it about just after World War I. They kind of gave it up. And then when World War II started, then the all-millennialists and Southern Baptists just went away. They thought that they were going to bring the Lord back and that the Lord was going to take over the earth and all this would take place at one time. They really didn't believe that the tribulation period was going to come on the earth at all. Boy, after those two world wars, they kind of threw that idea out the window. They should have just read their Bible. And that's the group that we affiliate with. They, even we, can make mistakes. All right? But we ought to save when we did. All right? And the word Southern Baptist. Remember what I told you about Southern Baptists? Who were the Southern Baptists? Those are the ones that were for slavery. And they had the scriptures twisted up where it had the promise, the slaves not being the Canaanites, but all black people. Now, that doesn't go with Scripture either. So that was wrong, too. So if you come and you hear my church history class, you're going to get the truth for us, even when we slap ourselves just a little bit. Okay? Our own selves. All right. The tribulation period's come on. We have the restored kingdom of Israel, Ezekiel 36:25-38. What does this say right here? The kingdom restoration of who?
Israel.
That's not the church. Israel and the church are totally separate. Okay? The promises to Israel are to national Israel. God has only had one nation in history, and that is Israel. And nothing in this world can destroy that nation. I don't care how many Arabs, or if America turns against them, or whatever happens, God is going to fight for them. And it simply says that in the book of Revelation, doesn't it? And all these other little cross references in Ezekiel, Daniel, and everything.
But they're going to try.
Yeah, they're going to try. If the devil could destroy Israel, could he thwart the promises of God?
Yes.
He could. He even tried to do it theologically through Calvin and Luther. And Augustine before them. The millennial reign. There are many people out in the religious world that get this millennial reign mixed up with the eternal age. It is two separate things. When the Lord came first time, He came to Israel, didn't he? Wasn't he supposed to? Told where he was going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be raised in Nazareth. That he would be drawn down in Egypt for a short time for protection. All these prophecies are in the Old Testament. But he was coming to national Israel because they are the ones who are going to bring the Messiah into the world. During his ministry, he called out his church and turned away from Israel. He finally cut Israel completely off when he went in and cleansed the temple. That was the end of Israel's, as far as their rule. Okay? And then everything he gave to the church. On the day of Pentecost, he had told his church, you go there and you meet there in Jerusalem. Wait for me until you receive power from on high. And from that period of time on, now we live in that church age. Okay? We live in the church age. At the end of the church age is the tribulation period. We're coming close to that right now. Now, this tribulation period here that's coming to us, that we see the previews of, and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ are two separate times, too, aren't they? What's going to happen up here at the beginning of the tribulation period? The
ascension of the saints.
What? The translation of the saints. Now, in John, the 14th chapter, and verse 2, could someone go there for me? Go to John 14th chapter and verse 2, and you say, what in the world's that got to do with this? How many of you got that little handout that I had of
verse 2.
Of the city?
The New Jerusalem?
New Jerusalem.
Yeah, plainly prepared for us.
Have you got that?
Yep, John 14, verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I can't find mine.
This little thing here.
That's it. That's it, brother. I had one of those. I had a lot of those. Can't find it. Can I borrow it, brother?
You bet.
All right. I've got some more in here. I'll give you some more later. This is a facsimile of what New Jerusalem is going to be like. It tells you all about it. Okay? Some of you have this. I'm going to find it. She got them for the classes, too busy visiting. I had them out there. New Jerusalem. John 14, verse 6. Who's got that, John 14, verse 6? How about you,
verse
Jess?
Six.
You got that?
Verse 13?
Verse 14, was it
14? 14 and verse 2. That's it, Jess. John 14 and verse 2.
In my Father's...
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Let's see. I just lost it. Okay. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going through to prepare a place for you.
All right. Now, he said, in my Father's house, in my Father's mansion, my Father's castle, there are many rooms in it. And I go away and prepare a place for you. I think that's when the Lord started building this New Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is the architect and the builder of this city. Brother Lee had a whole lot of information on this New Jerusalem, didn't you, brother? You remember anything about that, Brother Lee? How big it was and how many people it would house and all of that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
beyond our comprehension of how big it, how many people it could hold.
Yeah.
Because it's 1,500 miles cube.
1,500 mile cube. That's how big it goes. Jesus has been building that city. 1,500 mile square city. Amen McPherson said it was a city four square, and so she said she had a four square gospel, you know. That's where that came from, this four square.
All right. The city four square.
Now, the city four square... This New Jerusalem is going to be a satellite above the earth, way up there in heaven. In heaven. During the tribulation period, that's where his bride's going to go. And all the saved are going to be up there in New Jerusalem. Now, this is a holy Jerusalem. The one on earth is also called Sodom, huh? Isn't that in the book of Revelation? It calls it Sodom. Because there is a lot of sin in it. Now, the earth. It's still going to be down here. There's going to be a lot of terrible things. How long was an Israeli or a Jewish wedding? How long was it?
7 days.
7 days. The tribulation period is called what? Daniel's week. It's a week of years. All right? During all of this havoc on the earth, the Lord is going to be up here being married to His bride. All right? And they're going to be feasting for that period of time. Then, at the end of the time, is when the Lord is going to come down with His saints and wipe out the Antichrist and his armies. And He's going to wipe out every God-hater on this earth. And there are going to be 1/6 of the Gentile nations and 1/3 of the Jews left alive to go into the millennial reign on the earth now. Now the earth is going to be changed a lot during this period of time. But this earth that these people live on is not the new heaven and the new earth at all. It's not the same. A lot of difference. Okay? Now let's look in here and see what we can see in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any what?
Sea.
Now, during the millennial reign, there's going to be seas and bodies of waters. Okay? The people that get mixed up and say this heaven age and the millennium are all one, are all wet. Because the description of the earth during the millennial reign is totally different than what it is in the new heaven and new earth. We don't have much description of the new heaven and new earth, to tell you the truth. Not very much. How much you've ever studied about the new heaven and new earth, Brother Walter?
Not
very little there. And how about you, Brother Lee? You're a scholar. How about the new heaven and new earth? Say much about that in the Bible? We're reading about all of it says. But it says there's no more sea. Now, I went out in the ocean yesterday. I was out there 8 or 10 miles out in the ocean, wallowing around out there in the boat. And I mean to tell you, when we went out, that ocean was like a washing machine. It was rough. Marilyn was talking in her high-pitched voice. I never like this. She was giving it to me, boy. I mean, well, you know what? I respect the sea, but I'm not afraid of it and bouncing around out there and stuff like that. I respect it. But there's one other problem that I do have. I get seasick. And yesterday I was seasick almost all the time. Well, Marilyn got out there and she finally got over her fear and she wanted to fish. And I was like this. I said, I'm sick. And I got out there right where those big fish are. And I caught one big fish out there and caught another two or three out there, and we kept floating back across this thing. About the second time I floated across this, I said, I can't stand it anymore. And she said, what? I said, I got to go in. No. Boy.
Remember that next time she wants to go.
If she wants to go in, brother, I always take her in. I never make her stay out there. I remember one time out there, we went out there and tears were squirting out of her eyes. We got out there and the boat was a rock and everything else like that. She said, I'm afraid, like this. My tears were just gone. I said, I'll take you in right now. And she said, let's fish. She likes to fish more than she is afraid. Especially when one's on the line. I went out there and we were rocking. And I do videos of this thing, and I mean, it's just like this. The horizon is just all over the place. It got me. But the whole story there is what does that ocean do? What does the ocean do?
It cleans the earth.
It cleans the earth. And it rejuvenates and revitalizes. Where are some of the healthiest cities? On seacoast, because it cleans the air, especially if they have breezes. That's where you... And I don't know whether you know this. How many of you put gasoline in your car? Does anybody do that? Let me tell you a little story. I used to work in... I worked in a refinery making gasoline for a long time. And do you know that if you have a high-octane car, when you go up high in the mountains, you can run cheap gas up there. Did you know that? because not much oxygen. The gasoline hardly burns. And the better the gasoline, the lower it ignites the ignition point. So the high-octane gasoline is really colder gasoline than the low-octane gasoline. When you get down to the seashore, there's lots of oxygen in the air because the ocean has cleaned it up and just filled the air with oxygen, and you have to burn hot. If you've got a high-octane gasoline, you've got to burn it there because it's going to be hot because it's got plenty of octane to burn. How many of you knew that? Well, that you did, Brother Luis. All right. Now, if you go high in the mountains, you got this gas-burning high-octane car, just put regular in it, okay? It'll be all right. If you get down to the ocean, you're going to have to put high-octane gasoline in it. The oxygen, it has lots of oxygen down there because it cleans the air. But in the new heavens and the new earth, in the new heavens and the new earth, what does it say here?
No sea.
Why?
Don't need it.
Why do we need ocean today? Because of the sin of man. That's why. The sin of man. I was talking to a guy down, and we're talking about this global warming thing. You know, they keep saying that the Antarctica is building up, and it's melting all over in the north, and the south is building up. I talked to a guy from the south the other day in Antarctica, and he said it's melting. It's melting, just like all the rest of it. Melting. I'm going to tell you something. We haven't seen any pollution yet until we see this tribulation period. We're going to see a whole lot of pollution there. And remember all these... How many of you looked at the moon lately? What color is the moon?
Orange.
Red and orange. Because of pollution. The other day, the sun was so... It was so polluted and so polluted with smoke in this valley that the sun didn't even shine. It was a red ball up there. That's all. It says that in the book of Revelation. That's the way the whole earth is going to be. The earth is going to be in a mess.
Well, we have to live in the worst county anyway.
Yeah, we have to live in the worst place in the United States. In the worst county and the worst place for pollution right here. We get to breathe all of it. Well, it's going to be a whole lot worse in the tribulation period. Then the Lord is going to clean up the earth. Israel is going to clean up the earth. They're going to bury all the dead and everything else over here, aren't they? Second time, they don't need a burial, do they? There's a burial for all these people over here in this period of time. But when we go to the new heavens and the new earth, they don't need to bury anybody. The Lord says He is going to purify it. And it says in the days of Noah that God destroyed the earth by what? Water.
Water.
But in the last days, the last days of the earth as we know it, God is going to burn it up with fervent heat. He's going to purify it. I don't know what He's going to do with all the water. Maybe the ocean, all the salt water. I don't know. Maybe He's going to make it all pure water. Maybe He'll put in a great big water desalination plant. All that's gone. I don't know how it's going to happen, but there are not going to be any sea. There are going to be springs and rivers. All fresh water. But no sea. Because the earth doesn't need it. I will miss going out in the ocean in my boat. I won't miss being seasick. I guarantee you that.
I lived on the sea for 3 years.
Yeah? In the Navy?
Yep.
Yeah. Number two. Verse number two. Who has that now? Verse number two. Are you there, Mike?
And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud...
Hold on right there. Let's don't go any further. We're going slow. You read this the other day. We're not going to go that fast today. We just got you introduced to this chapter. And I saw the what city? Holy city. What made it holy? It's full of holy people and a holy God. Why are we holy in that city?
No sin.
No sin. But we are holy because God made us holy, isn't He? All right. We are holy because God made us holy. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Brand new. Not one like before. Who built this Jerusalem now? The Lord. All right. John 14. John 14th chapter. Verse 2. He went away and He built that city. coming down out of heaven. Down out of heaven. It's been up in the heavens before. It's always been above the earth. Okay? But now it's coming down out of heaven. That thing's been up there. God's holding it in place, isn't He? Who holds the moon and the stars and the planets in place? God does. All right? Where does it say that in the Bible? Huh? Well, Genesis, but where does it say it in the New Testament?
Oh, Hebrews.
Well, in Hebrews, but
He upholdeth all things by the word of His power.
That's right. He upholds all things by the word of His power. How about the first chapter of the book of Colossians? All things exist by His power. And whose power is it talking about? Jesus. By His power. All right. He created them. He spoke them in existence and He holds them in place. And He held this New Jerusalem up there in place for a long time. Coming down out of heaven from God, having been made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. All right. Number three. Let's look at verse number three now. Verse number three. Have you got that, Randy? Randy is our... If you go up to the website, you can listen to our last week's classes and everything. Courtesy of Randy. Randy gets all that stuff up for you on our website. All right? Brother Randy.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them.
All right. That's beautiful. Now, as far as I can tell, during the millennial reign, New Jerusalem is never on the earth. It's always above the earth, like a star or a sun. It's the light of the world. But now it's coming down out of heaven. And God has always wanted to dwell with these people, hadn't He? Why did God have Moses build the tabernacle?
For worship.
What?
For worship.
But besides that,
He could dwell in the place of home for sin.
It was a place to atone for sin, but above all of that, why did God build the tabernacle? Because He wanted to dwell with us. John 1:14. Go there. Go and read John 1:14. Kai ho logo sarx agenito. All right. That's what it says in Greek. John 1:14. Brother Ronnie, you got that?
Yeah. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right. It said, and He dwelt among us. What it says there is He pitched His tent. He tabernacled among us. He pitched His tent. He dwelt among us. God dwelt among us. In the tabernacle, when Moses built this little, see up here, this little tabernacle, there was a holy of holies in there. And guess where all Israel was? All around the tabernacle, north, south, east, and west, they were all pitched their tents around God's tent. And God was in the middle because God said, I want to dwell with my people. God has always wanted to be with His people. In the temple, Solomon built the temple. David wanted to build the temple, didn't he? He wanted to build the temple, but Solomon built the temple. And when they got the temple built, what happened? What happened? God took possession of it, didn't He? And what did He do? It says the Shekinah glory of God came down and just absolutely immersed that temple in His glory and fire. Think about that. At night time, the Shekinah glory of God, and who was the Shekinah glory? It's Jesus. That's what we just studied a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to go on the book of James, it's Shekinah glory. All right, we studied about that in the book of James on Wednesday night. At nighttime, this was a pillar of fire. Okay? And at daytime, it looked like smoke. And that pillar led all Israel. Okay? Now, when God took possession of the temple of Solomon, they saw the same thing there. And then it talks about the glory of the Lord departing from Israel and leaving them forever. It went out And this is very beautiful. The glory of the Lord, Shekinah glory of the Lord, went out through the door. Went out through the door of the temple area. And then went up to the Mount of Olives. And then it went into heaven. Did that tell you something? That's when the glory of God left Israel. Now the glory of God came to Israel again, didn't he? In John 1 and 1 through 1:14, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, came to Israel. In the book of James, Jesus' half-brother says he is the full beauty and glory of God among mankind. He wanted us to know that this one is absolute deity. Okay? And he dwelt among mankind. But where did he go? Not only he dwell among mankind, but mankind crucified him, didn't he? All of us crucified Jesus. All of us did. We all crucified Jesus. And then what happened to him? Where was he when he left this earth? Where was he physically? On the Mount of Olives. And he ascended into heaven from there. Where did the Shekinah glory of God? This was a preview of what would happen before. Nothing, just, you know, every bit of the Bible is inspired God. It's beautiful. Well, here this New Jerusalem comes down as a bride adorned for her husband in verse number 3. Now here we have a loud voice, verse number 3. Let's see, who we got here? Who wants to read this one? Marjorie, are you there? Verse number 3. All right, now isn't that beautiful? John 1:14, spoken all over again. The tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, all of these were previews of what would happen. By the way, let me tell you a little bit of something. Here, too. The tabernacle was a type of God dwelling with His people among the church, in the church age. All right? The temple of Solomon is the type of God's people with Him during the millennium time. Alright? Let's think about that now. The glory. Now, where are we today? In the church age. Now, in every one of God's real New Testament churches, the Shekinah glory of God still dwells with us today. Now, why do you think Baptists are the only ones through all about through church history that believed in the security of the believer? Because of that Shekinah glory of God that dwells us and leads us into all truth. Everybody else gets mixed up. They're going to be saved one day, lost the next day, whatever. But salvation is of God. And that assurance is where? In God's churches. All right. In God's churches. Now number four. Someone get that one? Before we get there, let me just tell you something. This very day, God's Shekinah glory is with His churches every time they meet. It never has gone away. It will not go away until God comes and takes us up. You had a question?
Oh, I was
going to
read number four.
Oh, number four. Okay. Read number four for us, please.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
All right. God shall wipe away every tear, each tear of each person. There will be no tears here now. It's all gone. Now, right here, there was problems in the millennial reign. Wonder? We read some things about the millennial reign. There's going to be people that they're going to be forced to serve God. They're going to be forced to have feast days. Israel will be the leader, the administrator of God's kingdom on the earth. The Lord will be up here in a satellite city above the earth. But now, everything is all together. And I don't understand everything about this, Brother Wally.
Someone suggested that there, during the judgment seat of Christ, there will be tears.
Yes, there will.
But now they're wiped away.
Yes. This is after the judgment seat of Christ. This is after all of that. The destruction of the earth and the new heaven and the new earth 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21:1, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:10 and 11. 2 Peter 3:10. You know this little chart. Now, if you don't have one of these charts, I've got some of these, okay? I want you to look at this chart, because a lot of your Bible questions will be answered by this. And if you've got any other questions, get the Doctrines of the Bible that I wrote. And we've got that one here, too. You can have a. If you keep those two books, that book and this little chart, you will have a good Christian foundation how to witness to people and how to teach. All right. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13. Brother Bill, you got that over there? No? Yes? See? No? All right. How about you, Marjorie? You got that one?
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and see its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, and the home of righteousness.
All right. Wherein dwells righteousness? Righteousness makes its home. What is the word hagios in the Bible? What does that mean? That's a Greek word. We use it all the time. Hagios. What does that word mean? It comes from two Greek words. An alpha in the front is a negative, and then the root is gay. All right? Not of earth. That's where we have our word saved, and that's where we get our word holy, too. Nothing that came from this earth is going to be there. It's all going to be burned up. We're going to be changed. There won't be any of the earth left in us, Brother David. None of it. We often wonder, well, we will remember our loved ones that are lost and everything that's gone on, our children, all this kind of stuff. It's all gone, people. There won't be any of that left in the earth. It's going to be totally separated at this period of time. We talked about hell last week. That's a terrible subject. But this week we're talking about heaven. Let's look at it now. This is beautiful. Everything else, the first things have passed away. Number five. All right, Brother John, are you there?
Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
All right, number six, too. Brother, just keep on going right on.
And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts."
All right, now we have waters here, don't we? Fountains of the water of life. Who is the originator of that fountain?
The Lord.
The Lord. All right. Moses was in the wilderness with those ungodly Israelites that he took out of Egypt, wasn't he? And they kept complaining and griping and moaning and groaning and everything all the time for a long time. They got out there one time and they were hollering for water. And God told Moses to go out and do what? Strike a rock. And out flowed water. In Jesus' ministry, who did he say the water was? He said, "I am the water of life. You come to me." He told the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John that, didn't he? He was that water. Now, at another time, the Lord told Moses to go and speak to the rock, and water would come out of it. And what did Moses do? He hit it. Now, who did he hit?
The Lord.
The Lord. That's why he couldn't go into the promised land. Did water come out of the rock? That's right. Because that water of life was Jesus. Now, here we have that water of life again. The creator of this water of life. Okay? Beautiful, beautiful. And who is he? He said, "I am Alpha and Omega." I am Alpha and Omega. Now, what is this Alpha and Omega? The first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. In Hebrew, is Aleph and Tau. And it's used that way in the Old Testament. This is the Alpha and the Omega. In John 1 and 1, it says, "In beginning." In beginning, singular beginning. Kept on being the Word, and that Word is Jehovah. That's Jesus. And He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. That's who came to this earth, that God. In the beginning, He kept on being. He was the Alpha and Omega. In the first part of the book of Revelation, it says He was Alpha and Omega, didn't it? The beginning and the end. Everything that has ever taken place in this world, in eternity and in time, was procured by the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that will ever be brought to harmony with God is going to be done by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's how all of it's going to take place. Everything that will ever be brought into harmony with God will be done by the merits of Jesus and nothing else. Not your work or my work or anything else. It's going to be done because of Jesus. All right. Number 7. This is Brother Wally. You there?
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
All right. My son there should be my heir. Heir. He who overcomes will inherit these things. Who is he talking about? Who's John writing this to? Everybody in the church age. All right, there's some things for you to do right now.
Nothing you can do
in salvation, but what you do in this life will eternally affect you.
I find that interesting. The 7 churches, each one has he that overcometh.
He that overcomes.
And I think it's
that's right.
Still in here.
Because there's something for you to do, not for salvation, but for your place in eternity. Brother Ron came up to me the other day. He says, remember last week we talked about there are different places in heaven. There are different places of glory in heaven, and there are different places of punishment in hell. Both places. There are degrees. Okay? In heaven, and there are degrees in hell. Now, why in the world would it be so important that every church that the Lord spoke to in the 7 churches in Asia, and there were a whole lot more than 7 churches in Asia, weren't there? But he picked those out to specify a specific time in church history. And every one of them, it says what? Overcomes. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about places of service. Who is going to judge angels? The Lord's churches. All right. They're going to judge angels in the judgment. Now, that's really important.
Each church has a specific promise.
That's right. That's right. And we have a promise. And here we are in Laodicea. Just think about Laodicea. What does Laodicea mean? Come on, tell me somebody. Somebody tell me what. None of you people have been in my class now. You don't talk right now. I want these others to tell me what Laodicea means. I want to know if anybody. All right, the cat got out of the bag. When I ask people what the word Laodicea means, they always say lukewarm. That's not what it means. It's not what it means. It means judgment by the people. Laos, people, and Dikia, judgment. Laodicea. All right? People judgment. And, you know, in the world that we live in today, God has one set of plans, and the world has another set of plans. That's simply the way it is. The Lord founded one church, and the world founded hundreds, thousands. And they're all out there doing their things their own way. And that's the church age that we live in, Laodicea. Sometimes you get disgusted with things in the church age. If you don't, something's wrong. We bring the world into the churches instead of the church bringing the church to the world sometimes, don't we? Yeah.
Our church, is that the closest to what Jesus gave? What He started the church that Jesus started?
The churches.
Are we the closest thing to that?
Baptist churches are the closest. Some Baptist churches are the closest thing to what the Lord called out and established in this world that there is. There were Mennonites. There were. What's these people back there drive these in Pennsylvania? They just got killed.
Amish.
Amish. Those people were Anabaptists. These were all the original people. The Anabaptists are so much, I mean, the Amish are so much closer than what we were now, back then, because all of them lived that way. All of them lived like the Mennonites. They didn't live of the world, but they lived separate from the world. Matter of fact, Baptists for so many years had to be separate from the world because they had to hide to live, or they'd been killed. Simple as that. All right. Now let's go on here a little bit further. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my heir. Heir. Put down the word heir. Okay? Because that's very important. Number eight. Number eight. Here we go into a fearful looking thing. Brother, Randy, are you over there?
But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right. The cowardly. All right. The cowardly. It's so easy to go along with the world, isn't it, sometimes? So hard to make a stand for the Lord. And unbelieving. Look at that word unbelieving. You know what that word unbelieving means? We have words for that. That's reprobate. You know what reprobate means? When you talk about a reprobate, we think of it differently in the world than what it really means. What does the word reprobate mean?
Choosing not to believe.
Denying the truth and denying the faith. Actively denying it and walking away from it. That's what reprobate means. And then abominable. Abominable. What is an abominable? Yeah, that's false worship. God doesn't like false worship, by the way. He doesn't like that at all. All right. Abominable and murderers. Manslayers. Killers. And immoral persons. What's this word immoral mean? It means more than immoral. What's it say over there in King James and some other translations? What's it say about that word?
Sexually.
What?
Sexually.
Immoral.
Whoremongers, prostitutes, and it also means homosexuals. Yeah. And then we have the word sorcerers. See that word sorcerers? What does that mean? In the original language, what does that mean? How many of you? Huh? Drug peddlers and drug users. That's what it is. At one time, the reason why they translated it back sorceries back in King James time is because most witches used drugs in their spells. All right? Idolaters. Idolaters. Here we have again the people that worship idols. Now, do idols have any power? Idols have got all kinds of power because they have the devil behind them. Why do people walk down and bow down to a stone or an image? Because of the power that's in it. There is nothing there. It's made out of stone or wood or something, but there's something behind that that draws them there. What draws people to false worship? Power of Satan. All right. Idolaters.
What you put before God.
Yep. And then liars. Liars. Liars are perjurers. Liars. Someone that lives a life of falsehood. And their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this is real hell here. This is hell. This is eternal hell. Hades, not Hades, but eternal hell. Hades is going to be resurrected and judged and then thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell. And number nine. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven plagues came and spoke to me, saying, "Come here and I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me in the Spirit. Now this is John that he carried in the Spirit. He carried him to an eternity future. And the Spirit and a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her brilliance was like a very costly stone, a stone, crystal, colored jasper, green, And by the way, the things it describes here are beauty. It is beautiful stones. The most beautiful things that people could think of back then, king's crowns and queens, their crowns and their bodies were just covered by beautiful stones, which represented deity, is what it represented. And it came on a great high wall and 12 gates. And here we have this New Jerusalem now. All right? New Jerusalem. And the gates, 12 angels, and their names were written on them. And there are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And there were 3 gates to the east, and 3 gates to the north, and 3 gates to the south, and 3 gates to the west.
Doesn't it look something like this in all reality? Wasn't this a foreview of what would happen right here? This right here? At Solomon's temple, as God designed it and told him how to build it?
Wasn't it like that? We're almost finished. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod and a measuring to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out a square, and its length as great as its width. And it measured the city with a rod of 1,500 miles. Its length and the width and height are equal. 1,500 miles. Now, right there is where we're going to take up next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. All right?
You know, Jim, I just got a comment to make about the holy city. It's,
yeah.
You know, in my business, I work with nature all the time, and nature is not symmetrical. It's, but this city is very planned and very rigid.
And very ordered, isn't it?
Very ordered.
God didn't create.
Leaves no inkling of the fact that it just happened.
That's right.
It's God's design.
When God created the heavens and the earth, He did not create it in chaos, as the world said. He created it ordered. And here we have that order put back in order finally. Brother David, you come forward and you get our prayer request. Thank you for enduring those hard seats. I hope you enjoyed the class today. Hope you learned something from it.
Okay, we've got a few people who need prayers on our list. First of all, we have Anna, who has an unspoken. Then Rosalie would like prayer.